add, though, it's important also, timing matters, right? Timing matters. Right. I have no idea how you went through pilot training with a 3.5-year-old. But for example, I had really wanted to go to fighter weapons school. I loved tactics. I loved the weapons. It was something that I was just on fire for. And then I accidentally got pregnant. And that was certainly not an option for me. So timing in terms of family, because it is a priority and it is a responsibility and it's a commitment that you can't do halfway. And there are certain elements, especially in a flying career, that require the very, very long hours. They require the being gone. And there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so as young women begin to progress through their flying careers, it's very important to think about who you're choosing as a partner. Will they really be 100% supportive? Are they really going to be, there for you when you can't be there? And then also, how are you going to time those family choices to ensure that you can really fulfill those dreams and those professional milestones that require a lot of sacrifice and, frankly, a lot of selfishness before you then have to move into the selfless mode of being more of a parent.
Right, right. And so the experience here for the ladies on stage and those of you out there that still have yet to have a family or a relationship, and so this is a lot of great advice for the younger females here that we have on stage. And I know I was talking to Jessica a little bit today of making choices like that and where you're going to go from this point on. So I hope that that's very inspirational for you to take away for tonight. So I want to talk to Stacy. I know you went through pilot training in 84, mm-hmm. correct? And you flew 141s.
Yes.
For 9 years, is that?
I did.
Right. So how was that experience for you going into the 141 as a crew? Were you the only female on board at the time, or were there other females with you?
There were a few females at the time. The 141, I thought, was just a magnificent aircraft because it was basically the airlines of the military at the time. And so I was living the dream of being that little girl that just wanted to go someplace, all the time. And then I was able to do that. But what the 141 delivered was a lot of humanitarian airlift and a lot of aeromedical airlift. Oh, wow. And so, it tugs at the heartstrings of what you do to, improve the state of humanity. And I enjoyed that so much, in addition to being able to transport cargo and people around the world. So very rewarding experience.
Okay. So when you started out there, how was the crew dynamics on the 141 for you? How was that experience?
It was really good. So, I tell people I don't have a lot of war stories. And I think because I learned a lot of lessons early and you set the tone right away. And so even when I was an aircraft commander, I was usually the female on the crew, and the guys used to like to talk on hot mic, and one time I pulled up hot mic and I just heard some wild and crazy stuff. So I told him, I said, number one, we all respect each other, and this was having to do with their home life or whatever, and I said, as a crew, I don't ever want to be one of the boys. And so that's what I've always told them. I will never be one of the boys, don't want to be one of the boys, but I will always be part of the crew. And that's how we will treat each other, with respect and dignity at all times. And that worked.
Okay. So that was when you were a commander, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you weren't, you're the commander on the flights that you weren't. Mm-hmm. How did you think that dynamic went, and as being part of that crew?
It's the same way. It's the same way. It
okay.
really is. Yeah.
So now we're talking about crew concept and crew resource management. I know, Jessica, you're the commander of the KC-10 crew, which is with you there. So how are the dynamics different being a female crew versus having male on there? Is there any difference? Okay.
Oh, man. I'm kind of laughing, and they know the joke I asked yesterday when we were on our way here. It was just kind of a female joke about timing, and so we joked about that being on a crew together. But I think
There's just the camaraderie that goes in being a female with another female, and it's not very often that you get to fly what we call an unmanned flight. And so it was just so much fun, and it was... So we joked, and this is probably not PC, but we put the guys in the kitchen on the flight and made them cook for us.
All right.
And then we flew the flight here, so that was the joke. But no, I think it was wonderful to feel that support. And when we were coming in, it was a little hectic flying in here yesterday with the airspace. I've never
really?
Been in here to fly like that.
Here?
So we were all working together, and I thought we worked really well together, getting in here, different radios and talking, communicating. And just knowing that you had each other's back was kind of awesome. And you have that with the guys, too. And we're really fortunate. In the KC-10 community, especially, and KC-135 originally came from. Guys support us, and they like to see this kind of stuff. And so they've all been on board with this, and they were so excited to send us on an all-female crew. And then they asked along the way if they could come and be part of the air show as well. So
nice.
Why wouldn't they want to be
So you
there?
Invited them with you, huh?
For a fee. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it's been awesome to, I haven't had the chance to fly with Jill before, but she came in as the director of operations, so I really respected her and was looking forward to flying with her. So that was awesome to do that yesterday. I've flown with these two a couple times, and it's awesome. I flew with Autumn when she was actually a boom, so it's fun to see that transition over to being an engineer. So it's awesome to see that and feel that, and just kind of sometimes tell girl jokes. I know that sounds really stupid and cliche, but like I said, I won't tell the joke up here, but we were just joking about different things about that I wouldn't have the opportunity to joke about with guys, or just kind of gossiping or whatever else. It's kind of just let the load off that you don't really get that with a guy. They don't really understand that. Not that they don't try to, but you just have that different level of comfort, I guess.
Right. And your experience, Jill?
Well, yeah, just this flight. I've only been on two unmanned flights before in my career, and they are a little slightly different, and I guess we just get a little bit, maybe a peek into what the guys experience generally with all male crews, right? Just a, you know, different sense of what we like to talk about. Maybe it's family, maybe it's cooking, whatever. I don't want to be stereotypical, but we do have different interests and our thought processes are a little different. So it is just kind of a different way of operating the airplane in a way. Just it's light. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a good time for sure.
All right. And Tammy Jo, Southwest, have you flown with an all-female crew?
A couple of times.
Okay.
Yes.
And your experience versus the male, you know, with the males in the cockpit? And
in light of recent events,
right.
I would have to say Darren, who's here tonight, is the other man in my life. And so my first officer, Darren, I don't know. I just have to say I really enjoy a mix.
Right.
So
right.
It was fun flying with the girls. It was actually a little odd to get in the cockpit and there was a girl sitting there.
Right.
And then I reminded myself, well, you're a girl, you know. It was fine. And honestly, that's one of the things I love about aviating is there's not girl planes and guy planes. You know, you just get in there and do your job.
Right.
Get in there and have some fun. Mm-hmm. And being raised on a ranch where my dad treated me the same as my brothers and the hired hands. And so it wasn't until I launched out into the modern real world that I realized there was really lines drawn that needed to be respected. And you can do, and the airplane doesn't make you punch in a different cost code if it's a girl flying. It's
right,
really
right. Absolutely.
An equalizer.
Right. So as a commander, I know in the airlines they always train with crew resource management. Mm-hmm. Now the training that you get in, and I'm going to talk to the Air Force, and we'll talk about the crew resource management in the Air Force there, as the captain, you know, on how do you handle that, and obviously, I want to refer to your recent catastrophic engine failure experience. So I think crew resource management is a vital part of training in order to not only do your job and do it safely, but effectively mm-hmm. to get, you know, mostly flying is a non-event. You just take off, you cruise, you get to your destination, land, and that's over with.
Right.
But in critical situations, how do you feel crew resource management is a big factor for you to be able to accomplish the...
I think it was the single factor, to be honest with you. It was the biggest thing we had. And as Stacy was saying, I mean, it's a tone that you set when you meet them in the morning. Darren and I had flown one day together before that happened. And just because the tone was set, Darren, obviously great pilot, great guy to fly with. Neither one of us had fiefdoms to protect. And so it's the resource management that you use every day that's gonna show up at the crisis. So if you're gonna wait for a crisis to become a good crew member, it's too late. It has to start. It has to just be a part of how you do business and who you are, because you will revert back to your habit pattern in a crisis. So that old adage of how you practice is how you play that your coach has always told you, It's true. It's just that's the way you will behave.
Right.
And recently I had the privilege of sitting down with an aerospace CEO for Blue Origin, and he had been a part of the group that recovered the black box from the Air France flight. And you know, they had some mechanical issue with the pedostatic getting iced up, but they were fighting the aircraft and each other all the way to the ground.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, obviously before that happened, there wasn't a real good atmosphere going on, I would imagine, if when the crisis came, they could not agree on inputs. And that was where Darren, oh my goodness, he is the unsung hero on Flight 1380, because we, thank you, Darren. I have to say, I mean, we were at a point of pointing to communicate. We were not able to hear or speak for quite a long time. And it was a pretty violent entry into the next stage.